Hi, I'm Stephanie Kelton.
And I'm Jeremy Olshan. We're the hosts of the new podcast from MarketWatch, The Best New Ideas in Money.
The pandemic showed many of us that it's possible to work from home, but that's not the only change the workforce has seen.
This week, we're looking at companies who are experimenting with the four-day work week and how it could massively change how we live and work.
Listen to The Best New Ideas in Money, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, January 7th. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Zoe Thomas. Drones, they're delivering packages, helping take photos and videos. But the U.S. military is worried those flying gadgets are also being rigged with explosives, mostly in the Middle East. On today's show, Stephen Kalin, a Middle East correspondent with The Wall Street Journal, joins us to discuss what the Pentagon is calling its most concerning tactical threat and what they're doing to fight back. That's after these headlines. A California woman is suing Meta, formerly Facebook, over the death of a family member. Angela Underwood Jacobs said her brother, Dave Underwood, a federal security guard, was shot and killed by two anti-government extremists who met on Facebook and hatched a plot there to kill federal agents. The lawsuit filed on Wednesday claims that the two men connected through a Facebook group recommended by the social media site's algorithm, which is designed to increase user engagement. A Facebook spokesman said the claims are without legal basis. Previously, the company said it worked with law enforcement on the case. The spokesman said Facebook has banned over 1,000 militarized social movements from its platform. The alleged shooter and accomplice have pleaded not guilty. The suit is the latest effort to challenge websites' protections under Section 230, which shields them from liability for user-generated content. Nike is suing Lululemon Athletica for a patent infringement related to the Mirror Fitness technology. Lululemon acquired Mirror last summer. The company sells a tech-enabled mirror with a camera and speakers that enables customers to participate in live fitness classes from home. In the lawsuit, Nike says Mirror's home gym and apps use technology that the sneaker giant invented and patented, including a device that prompts users to exercise, monitors their heart rate, and collects data on their activity. Lululemon's lawyer said the company didn't believe that Mirror was infringing on the patents and that the patents in question are, quote, overly broad. Nike didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. And property management software company Entrada says it has ousted board chairman and co-founder David Bateman for sending an anti-Semitic email about COVID-19 vaccines to business leaders and politicians. The email contained the subject line genocide and falsely stated that Jewish people are behind a plot to kill Americans through the vaccines and PCR testing. Bateman was asked to resign by the board hours after the email was sent, and Bateman agreed. Entrada's chief executive said Bateman's opinions were his alone and that they do not reflect the values of the company. Bateman didn't respond to request for comment Wednesday. All right, coming up, how the U.S. military has tried taking down drones armed with explosives, with nets or lasers. That's after the break.
What happens when businesses make unlocking the power of their data an organizational and cultural imperative? Find out in The Data Agenda, a new podcast series from Wall Street Journal, Custom Content, and Amazon Web Services, available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Cheap hobby drones have become a big problem for the U.S. military, mostly overseas. The unmanned flying gadgets have been used by enemy forces for years, but with technology evolving so rapidly, defending against them has been a constant game of cat and mouse. Here's how Marine General Kenneth McKenzie, head of U.S. Central Command, put it at a House Armed Services Committee hearing last April.
They'll have a ways to go to get on the right side of the curve with this, because right now you can go out and buy one at Walmart or some other location. You can weaponize it very readily. Sometimes it is very difficult for us to detect them until it's too late. We have a variety of systems that we're testing now in a free market of competition to find the best and most integrated capabilities. We are not there yet, and it remains a very concerning priority of mine.
So why exactly are drone attacks so difficult to combat, and what strategies is the military deploying? WSJ's Middle East correspondent Stephen Kalin joins me now to explain. Hi, Stephen. Thanks for coming on the show.
Good to be with you.
So, Stephen, these kinds of attacks aren't new. The first small attack drones the U.S. military encountered were in 2016. That was in Iraq by Islamic State militants. What did those attacks look like?
Yeah, so the drones have developed rapidly over the past few years, and the challenge that the military is having in addressing this threat It partly has to do with the rapid speed of development and the accessibility of drone technology. So, you know, a few years ago, what militant groups like Islamic State were using were sort of these quadcopters that you can buy at Walmart or Costco. And they started out just flying them with a camera or something like that. Then they figured that they could attach a small amount of explosive or, you know, a hand grenade that would drop from the drone onto, you know, an enemy position. And so at that time, the military, you know, addressed the threat that it was facing. And so one way to do that, the obvious way, was soldiers in the field would often just turn their weapons, their rifles, M16s, up to the sky and try to shoot the drone down with traditional bullets. When the military started looking at this, obviously that's also dangerous because you have bullets falling down. So a technique that they developed was to try to jam the signal between the drone itself and the operator somewhere else on the ground, wherever the Islamic State position was. And that proved effective for a while until the drone technology developed the capability to be pre-programmed so that even if the signal between the drone and the operator were cut, the drone would continue on to whatever it was pre-programmed destination. And so that jamming technique no longer worked as a defensive option.
So what's the military doing now since jamming the signal isn't as effective?
So they've tried a few different options. There have been some pretty wild ideas like shooting nets at these drones. One option was to have another drone go after the first drone with a net and capture it. That didn't really work for some technical reasons. The methods that the military seems to have landed on for the time being are called high-powered energy systems, which are basically lasers and high-powered microwaves. So the lasers literally burn holes through the motors or other important parts of the drones. And the microwaves can be used to interfere with the electronics, basically disabling the drone itself. So they're testing lots of different options. And in addition to, you know, the techniques for intercepting the drones or like downing them or basically bringing them out of the sky, the other part of this is the detection of the drones, because a lot of the traditional detective systems, the radars that have been used for years to identify aircraft or incoming missiles, are mostly geared toward high, big, you know, fast moving objects. And these drones generally fly much lower and slower, and they have the ability to change course pretty quickly. So they're often able to evade traditional radars. So what folks have had to do is try to stitch together data from radars and other sensors, cameras, and try to get all of that information together so that any sort of defensive response can be activated quickly enough.
You kind of touched on this just now, but the U.S. military has been partnering with companies to help them against this challenge, like Lockheed Martin and Boeing, to name a few. Who are some of the big players in this field, and what exactly are they working on?
Yeah, so a number of the companies are working on different systems. Boeing and General Atomics are working on a laser to shoot down missiles and manned aircraft that could also be applied to drones. Raytheon and KBR are working with the Army to develop a laser that can be fixed onto a tactical vehicle, basically, you know, a vehicle that the military can drive in combat situations. And Boeing is also working, as well as Raytheon, on laser systems that can be either fixed or deployed on vehicles to provide, you know, sort of perimeter security to a military base, or be deployed on vehicles to go closer to sort of the front lines. The focus seems to be mostly on lasers and also these high-powered microwaves. So Lockheed is working on a system that can be sort of carried in a backpack and then, when deployed, fired out of a tube and uses microwaves to take down the incoming drones. And then there's a Silicon Valley startup that we've talked to. They're working with General Dynamics to put a microwave weapon on some of those military vehicles as well. And the aim there is to be able to target not just single drones, but also swarms of drones that are coming in together or sometimes even communicating with each other and coordinating. And that swarm tactic is one of the newer developments in drone offensive technology, which is sort of the next challenge, we think.
Where are these attacks happening and how common are they?
So they're very common these days in the Middle East. Just this week, there have been, it seems like every day, there have been attacks in Iraq and Syria against bases housing U.S. forces. They're very common in Saudi Arabia, where I've been living in the past 6 or 7 years since the Saudis intervened in Yemen, there have been almost 1,000 drone attacks from Houthi militants firing across the border into Saudi Arabia. So the Middle East seems to be really a nexus for this activity. We saw it with Islamic State, and now we're seeing it increasingly with militias, ones backed by Iran, which we know has developed a capability for building drones, both sort of the very basic small ones to bigger, more sophisticated ones that sort of mimic the very sophisticated ones that the US and some other countries have developed. But we're really seeing it all over the world. It's becoming a global phenomenon. So the CENTCOM commander said this is, you know, the biggest tactical threat in nearly 2 decades. But the Secretary of Defense has also been very clear that this is one of his top priorities. And to that end, the Pentagon put the Army in charge of an office to coordinate the military's entire response, because we're seeing these increasingly in Latin America, in Asia, in Africa. So this is something that's going to become more and more common around the world.
So then what about here in the U.S.? Are there concerns that drones could be used by domestic terrorists?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a concern. There have already been a number of incidents in the U.S. and in the U.K. a few years ago. There was one of their airports outside of London was disabled for, I think, several hours because there was a hobbyist drone flying around that they couldn't bring down. So it's definitely a threat to civilian infrastructure like airports, stadiums, just any big gatherings, parades could be potential targets. And, you know, there's different defensive techniques in different environments. So, you know, if you're operating at an outpost in Syria in the middle of the desert where there are a few kind of civilian installations, there are fewer threats to, you know, having collateral damage from some of these weapons, because some of the high-powered energy weapons can have impacts on other infrastructure. So if you're in a densely populated area, that can have an impact on offices, on hospitals, on, you know, x-ray machines and other equipment that is vital. And also downing these drones in a populated area often entails the drone still coming crashing to the ground. And so it's fine in an open area outside of a military base, but in the middle of a city, it can still cause a lot of damage. So it creates additional challenges in densely populated areas.
All right, that was our Middle East correspondent, Stephen Kalin. Thanks again for being here, Stephen.
Thank you.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our supervising producer is Chris Zinsley, our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum, and I'm your host, Julie Chang, filling in for Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.